The following program is being brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check our additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the following program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management. It's time to bring out the Better Worldian in all of us. Welcome to Better Worldians Radio with your hosts, Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. Better Worldians Radio inspires you with the people and ideas that are making the world a better place. You'll hear how small acts can make a big difference every day. Now, here are Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory.
Hi, this is Ray Hansel. Welcome to Better Worldians Radio. Better Worldians Radio is a weekly broadcast whose mission is to uplift and inspire you to make the world a better place. Every week we are speaking with best-selling authors, film producers, TED speakers, happiness experts, and also everyday folks just like you whose small acts make a big difference in the world. We call them Better Worldians. And speaking of Better Worldians, let me introduce you to my co-host, Mary Sue Hansel and Gregory Hansel. Mary Sue has been a successful entrepreneur and business executive for over 30 years. She's also an avid practitioner of the healing arts, positive psychology, and spirituality. And now here's my life partner, Mary Sue.
Hi, everyone. It's great to be here with you today to share all the good that's being done in the world. Now, let me also introduce Gregory Hansel. Gregory has a background in philosophy and world religions, and most importantly, has spent over 15 years at the intersection of technology, social causes, and big ideas.
Hi, this is Greg. I'm so glad you can all join us here on Better Worldians Radio today. Let me tell you first about my dad, Ray, who you just heard from. He's a serial entrepreneur who successfully founded and with Mary Sue took public a national marketing firm. Giving back has always been really important to Dad, who supports cancer research, disabled children, and disadvantaged families, among many other causes. And by the way, we're the family team that created the popular social game on Facebook called A Better World. It rewards players for doing good deeds while helping to raise money and awareness for charities. To date, over 14 million good deeds have been done in A Better World by more than 2.5 million people. In the month of May, we're supporting Cradles to Crayons, a nonprofit that provides children with the essentials they need to thrive. When our players do 500,000 good deeds in the game, we will donate funds to provide 100 children with backpacks full of clothes and books. On this week's episode of Better Worldians Radio, we are discussing A Twist of Faith.
Joining us today is Ann Beiler, who is best known as the founder of Auntie Ann's Hand-Rolled Soft Pretzels, the world's largest hand-rolled soft pretzel franchise. However, her journey to become a leading female entrepreneur began years before the first pretzel was rolled. In September of 1975, Ann and her husband experienced a parent's worst nightmare, the loss of a child. This event propelled Ann into years of darkness, during which she nearly lost her husband, her family, and her faith. Out of her pain, however, came purpose and the desire to persevere towards success personally and professionally. Ann shares that story in her autobiography, Twist of Faith. Today, Ann finds her purpose as a public speaker, inspiring business communities and encouraging women across the country. Ann, it is so great to have you join us today on Better Worldians Radio.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited to be able to share my story with your audience today.
Oh, you're very welcome, and it is quite a story. Now, I see that you were actually brought up as part of an Amish community, and later your family joined the Mennonite Church, which had a big influence on the rest of your life. Can you tell us a little bit about your background?
Well, growing up in an Amish community and in an Amish home, I think three words describe it very well. I felt very safe as a child. It was a very simple lifestyle, and I felt very secure. Simple meaning there were not a whole lot of outside voices coming into our home, and so it really kept life very simple. And there was eight of us kids and one mom and one dad, and on the farm, just growing up together, I can tell you, as I think back to that now, I just really see the simplicity of all that, because my life has gotten a little bit more complex over the last years.
Yes, it certainly has. You wrote in your book, Twist of Faith, that you were living a happy life with your husband and two daughters when tragedy suddenly struck and changed your life and sent you on that very dark path. Could you tell us just a bit about that?
Yes. Growing up in an Amish home, it's really your dream and your goal as a little girl and as a young girl, as a teenager, to, basically to get married and have your own family. And, I grew up in such a secure life that we had no tragedy in our families, and which to me is amazing, but there was really nothing traumatic happened in our families. So it was very simple and very safe. And so growing up, your desire is to just simply, get married and have your own family, just like your mom and dad did. And because we grew up in church, and I always felt like if I'm a good girl and I do everything just right, bad theology, I know that now, but at the time I thought, if I do everything just right, then life will always be good for me. And so when our daughter Angela Joy was 19 months old, and she was the love of our life, of course she was our second daughter, and she was killed on the farm. We had a very small farmette, and my sister was driving a bobcat, helping my father with his business. And Angela got in the way of the bobcat, and she was killed instantly. And that experience really put me in touch with pain and emotional pain, spiritual darkness, spiritual confusion. And it put me into a whole new world that I knew nothing about. And it changed my life in dramatic ways. But as I look back at that moment today, which is about 38 years later, I can see how that really was a pivotal moment for me in changing the way I think about myself, about God, and also about feeling and understanding other people's pain.
Well, we'll be going through that journey with you today, so we'll be getting into it. I'd like to also mention for our listeners that Annie Ann's, as many people know, is a household name today, especially coming from Pennsylvania, where we broadcast the show. It started out just as a way for you, as I understand it, to earn a little extra money. And could you tell us a little bit about the first pretzel stand in Downing?
Yes. The first pretzel stand was in Downingtown, Pennsylvania, and the business itself came about quite by accident. And again, going back to the tragic events that I just described, took my husband and I to a very a different place in our marriage. We'd been married 7 years, and before Angela was killed, and so finding ourselves in this very dark place at the end of all of that. We went for marriage counseling, which really saved our marriage. And because of that, then my husband went to Emerge Ministries in Akron, Ohio, and began to study psychology. And so out of our pain, our purpose was born. So the pretzel, Auntie Anne's pretzels, came about because he wanted to do free counseling as a service to our community. And so that's why I went to work, and we bought our own store at Downingtown, Pennsylvania. They were already selling soft pretzels, so the pretzel was not my idea. It was just, it happened to be at the store that we bought. And so we just took that product on and took it to a whole new level and took Auntie Anne's pretzels to the whole world. But it really happened because we wanted to make money so that my husband could continue his free service for counseling and helping other families in our community.
What a coincidental act of faith that was. Now, you had a rather bumpy road getting that pretzel recipe just right, so I really am interested in hearing you tell us a little bit about how that recipe came about.
Sure. After we started our pretzel stand, and they were selling pretzels, and so we just took the recipe and just continued doing the pretzels, but we began to tweak it a little bit. And as we began tweaking the pretzel, it was very bad. And was not a good pretzel. And after about 6 weeks, I told my husband, let's just take the pretzel off the menu and we'll just do ice cream and pizza because we were already selling that. And so I said, well, before you take the pretzels off the menu, let me try something that I learned as a kid in my mother's kitchen. And so I said, well, okay, you can go for it. And so he went to the store, came back with a few ingredients, and we added and tweaked the recipe some more for the very one more time because I was going to give up. And as he did, we mixed the first batch, and as they began to bake, and we began to smell them, we're like, wow, there's something, this is much different than what we had. And the first pretzel out of the oven after the change of the recipe, I mean, really, from that moment on, we could never make the pretzels fast enough. So the rest of the story, you have to read it in the book because I don't have the time to tell you the rest of the story about that. But it really, truly was an accident. And we were going to give up, but there was, God had another plan, and we were able to take Auntie Anne's pretzels around the world into 26 countries, I believe, to date.
Oh, my word. No problem. So often these quote-unquote accidents happen to some of the people that we talk to, and we call them accidents, but are they really, you know?
I believe there are divine plans, divinely planned.
You know, in our last business, we experimented with quite a few different strategies to get, as you call it, the right recipe. And
yes.
And then once we got it, of course, you don't really know that you have it, but you think, you know, this might be it. The business really took off. And so that was an amazing rocket ship ride for us in those years. And so I have to believe that you must have experienced something similar with this extremely rapid success with Auntie Anne's pretzels. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
It was fast. Remember, I went from being a stay-at-home mom. We had two kids at the time. One daughter was killed, and then we had another child. So we have, at this time, had two daughters living. And so when Auntie Anne started, we were settled in to do one store, and the girls came and helped us. Our daughters, they were very young, but we just did this little market thing that lots of people do in Lancaster County. And so the sampling that we began to do, I was so passionate about the pretzel, and I was so loved it so much that I just wanted everybody to taste the pretzel. So the product that we had was very easy to sample, and so we would just cut up a pretzel, and I want to make sure that everybody that walked by our store would at least taste a pretzel, because I knew if they tasted it, they would probably buy one. But it was more fun for me just to see them sample it and to enjoy the taste. So we went from me being a stay-at-home mom to doing one store in downtown, and completely oblivious to the fact that there was a bigger plan here that we had no idea about. But as we began to sample the product, we could not sell the pretzel fast enough, and people began to come to us and ask us, can we sell these pretzels wherever? And I'd just say, no, we can't. We're just going to do this one store. But as we began to... the first year we did two stores, the second year we built 10 more, and then the third year we built 35 more. So going from a stay-at-home mom to a businesswoman almost overnight was absolutely, it was a roller coaster ride, up and down, emotionally and physically, and I had to learn so much about the business that it was an absolute, sometimes it felt like a nightmare. My husband called it a monster. He said, we created a monster and we don't know what to do with it. So there was a lot of things about it that were very difficult, but at the same time, the excitement and the product, the people loved the product and wanted to sell the product. It just became, it just took off all on its own, really.
That's amazing. Now, you actually refer to it as a modern-day business miracle.
Absolutely.
And hearing the story in the book, I really encourage people to get the book and read it, because the story, just that aspect of the story alone, is just riveting. You know, when you people see the looks of the people's faces when they tasted that pretzel for the first time.
Absolutely.
Must have been one of your first delights. Oh, my gosh, have we stumbled along to something really fantastic, but no
yes.
idea how fantastic. So what a magnificent ride that was. And you write in your book about the special significance of the word light, L-I-G-H-T, and I'll repeat this for our listeners. L standing by lead by example, I invest in employees, G give freely, H honor God, and T treat all business contacts with respect. Can you tell us a little bit more about that?
Well, growing up in the Amish community and watching my dad work hard and all of my aunts and uncles, and there's a bunch of them. There's my mom and dad both came from very large families, 20 aunts and uncles, 40 total, with their spouses. And watching my family grow up and all of my neighbors and my community growing up in a very hard-working, faith-based, trustworthy handshake kind of a... It's just the way we did business, you know, in a very small way, but it was the way I knew. And so when I was introduced to the real world of corporate life, it was all new to me. And I was surprised that, oh, wow, you can actually be a person that doesn't keep your word. You can actually tell a lie while you're doing business. I mean, these kind of things were completely new to me. And quickly, I realized that I don't want to do business that way. There was a lot of great business people in our community, and there are many, many great people in the world that do business in a very ethical manner. So I was not the first one. There's nothing new under the sun. But for me... in the world that I came from and going into this world of business, it was all new, and I was surprised. And so quickly, I began to think about, you know, how do we want to do business? And if I'm going to do business in a bigger way than just one or two stores, or now I'm at 25, 35 stores, how will I let people know what our mode of operation is, or what is our business model? And I began to think about light. And I felt like that light is even though it's defined as simply to make things visible, and light never says anything, it only shines. And I wanted our company to be the kind of company that stood out, that would shine, and that would do business in an ethical manner. And so our management team, we got together, and we started to talk about how we could do that. And we came up with the word LIGHT and did the acronym. And so then we put that on all of our business cards and in all of our business materials, in our articles, whatever. Whenever we had meetings, we would always talk about LIGHT. And it really... helped define who we were as a business and what we're trying to accomplish. And it became the buzzword. Every decision that we made, we would look at it through the grid of light. And that's how we did business in the 18 years that I was the founder and CEO of the company.
Yeah, that's an amazing model. And many people would probably want to use that model in all their business contexts. It's something you see, frankly, reflected in some of the more successful businesses around the world.
Absolutely.
Now, you started Annie Ann's Pretzels in your late 30s.
I was actually 40.
Later start than those people can imagine.
Uh-huh.
So what's your message to someone who says, gee, it's too late to start over?
Oh, my goodness. It's never too late. I you know what? I think that life is really all about attitude. You know, if you think life is over, well, maybe it is. But if you think it's not, then it's probably not. So we really, I think it's a mindset. And so if there are some listeners, you know, I understand difficult times. I understand I didn't come from a background of wealth or rich aunts and uncles or some sort of a lottery. I didn't win the lottery or... You know what I'm saying? I think that it's really a mindset. And if we think that we can, we probably will. So I just want to encourage people out there. You may have had some hard knocks in life. And maybe it's true. Maybe you know have reason to feel like you're done or like I'm finished. But I just want to say that's really not true. When you really, if you're positive about, if you think positively, you have faith, you believe that God can help you. Let me tell you something. The sky is the limit, and you are never finished. Just keep looking, keep dreaming, and keep doing something. Work toward what it is that you want to accomplish. Don't lay in bed all day and watch TV. You got to get up and go do the hard work. And so that's what I encourage people to do is your dreams will never be fulfilled by doing nothing and just simply wishing upon a star. But what I've experienced is that hard work, faith, getting up every morning in spite of the obstacles really is what all of us need to accomplish anything in life. So we're never done. As long as we're breathing, there is something to do.
For those of you listeners who are out there still in bed, I urge you to take heed, because you're going to hear a lot more in the coming session coming beyond this about leading by example. We're going to take a short break right now, but we're going to be talking more with Ann Byler and my co-host, Mary Sue. In the meantime, I'd like to offer this challenge to our listeners. If you know someone whose acts, no matter how small, are making a big difference in the lives of other people around the world, we'd love to hear about them. Send us an email at radio@betterworldians.com. We'll be right back.
How can we make it a better world?
I think we can make it a better world if we had peace among each other.
Everybody needs to help their neighbor, and then it will spread from there on.
I should do more.
I could do more. I spend so much time on Facebook.
How much time do I spend on Facebook?
Probably more than I should be spending.
I would definitely get back if I could find the time.
Now you can help others just by playing a game on Facebook. It's called A Better World. Share your hopes and dreams. Do good deeds, make a difference, and have fun. Become a better worldian. Join a community where all good deeds get rewarded. Log in today to find out how you can make a difference every day.
For more information, visit facebook.com/abetterworld.
Scarecrow to Dorothy! Come in, Dorothy!
This summer...
I can't believe it, Toto. We're really back in Oz.
The Battle for Oz begins.
An evil jester is threatening Oz. And you are the only one who can help us.
On May 9th, get ready for action.
Come on!
Ready the candy pulse!
Fire!
Adventure.
Lion, lion, coming through!
And monkey business.
I don't speak monkey.
Legends of Oz starts May 9th. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
This is Better Worldians Radio with a family team of Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. To connect with the show today, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send us an email to radio@betterworldians.com. Now, back to Better Worldians Radio.
Hi, you're listening to Better Worldians Radio. We're speaking with Ann Byler, the founder of Annie Ann's Pretzels. And now let's welcome back Ann and Mary Sue.
Hi, Ann.
Hello, Mary. How are you?
Really good.
Good.
You know, one of the reasons you began working at the pretzel stand was to make some extra money, as you said, so that your husband could offer free counseling to couples and families. Can you tell us a little bit more about the work that he did and were you involved?
We actually started counseling together as a couple, and then Auntie Ann started, and then I became more involved in the business, and he did more of the counseling. But we did it together for a couple of years, and actually probably about 2 years. And then after that, I did very little counseling, but he stayed, he did counseling for about, off and on for a solid 10 years, and then off and on for about 25 years. So the counseling was really his passion, and Auntie Anne's was mine.
Yeah, I saw that you eventually opened up the family center in the Gap, Pennsylvania.
Correct.
What kind of services did they offer, and do they still offer them?
Yes. Well, when we sold the company back in 2005, we took the proceeds of the company and bought a farm and began to develop it. And we put on the farm, the first thing we did was build a family counseling or family center. We called it the Family Center of Gap. And I'll tell you about where you can find that a little bit later if you would like.
Tell us now.
Okay. You can check out the Family Center of Gap. It's called the, it's called the GapFamilyCenter.org. So if anybody's interested in what they do, they can check that out on their website, and that will give you all of the information that you need. But in short, we built a 55,000-square-foot building, and in this place, my husband had the vision for families to come and just have many of their needs met under one roof. And so in that building, we had a counseling center, of course. We had a nutritional center, a medical doctor. We had a public library, a cafe, a church. We had
Full service.
I'm sorry?
I said sounds full service.
Yeah, full service. That's a good way to put it, yes. And so we had many types of services, and the services continue to grow even to this day. So, again, if somebody really wants to find out what's happening there, they can go to the website.
Sounds good. You know, Aunt Faith, from reading your book, faith was such a huge part of your life. How do you feel your faith got you through these real big challenges you had?
Well, I can tell you, without faith, I would have given up. I couldn't have done what was accomplished, because faith was something that was instilled into my life as a little girl. And many times people early days of Auntie Anne's, they would say, how can you take your faith into the workplace? And I would say, how can I not? I mean, it's a part of who I am. Can I let it at home in my bedroom or something?
Yes.
And it was part of who I was and am. And so taking my faith to the workplace was natural for me. And at one point, I really felt like, and that's why we talked about light earlier, I felt like my job was not necessarily to evangelize the world in the business workplace, but my job was to be salt and light in the world. And to me, that was my faith in action. And I began to realize that what I am needs to be more than what I say.
Yes.
So living my life, faith became my I would like to say my quiet testimony. And taking faith to work with me was very important, and I could not have done it without my faith, because in the early days and all through the life of Auntie Anne's, I did a lot of praying and asking God to show me the way, and He did.
Mm-hmm. You know, you've had such a fascinating life, but as we have heard, it hasn't always been easy. In your book, you say, forgiveness has become my lifestyle, and the benefits from this are many: the health, the happiness, and peace of mind. Can you explain what you mean by that?
Well, that's a deep subject, and forgiveness is lots of people. I mean, you hear a lot about it today, and of course, it's a part of the faith community.
Yes.
But for me, forgiveness on a very personal level, it really became real to me when I realized that. I had, with the death of a child, and we also, which you'll read about in the book, had a perpetrator that came into our family and abused me and also my daughters, and nearly destroyed our lives. And I, over time, that became, I became bitter and very angry. And again, it's a very long story, but I realized many years into the life of the business of Auntie Anne's, actually, because this all happened before the company ever started. Uh-huh. But years into the Auntie Anne's business, I realized that this anger was dominating me and consuming me. And so I went for marriage counseling. I went to a psychologist, a psychiatrist, and I was on medication for a couple of years. And I was determined to empty myself of bitterness and anger because I knew it was eating my lunch. And I found out that forgiving those who hurt me really, it didn't do a thing for them, but it set me free to become all that I needed to be and all that God wanted me to be. So forgiveness set me free, and it helped me to, it made me healthy and whole. So it's a very real part of my life. It took me a long time to get to the point of forgiveness. And then the second part of forgiveness was for me to be able to forgive myself for hurting my family and in my behaviors before the life of Auntie Anne's as well. So forgiveness is, I am not the authority on that, and there's a lot of books on the subject, but I do totally believe that if I can, it's important for me to forgive others for hurting me, but it's also important for me to forgive myself when I hurt others. So it's become my life.
Yes, Anne, I think you're a fantastic example for someone who forgave after terrible things happened to them and their children. You know, most people don't realize forgiveness is so important. They think they're actually doing something good by being angry. But yeah. As all the great wisdom tells us, forgiveness really releases us.
Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. Now, you wrote, you know, the very honest and open book, The Twist of Faith, which I hope our readers run out and our listeners actually run out and read the book. How has being open with your story changed your life?
Oh, well, if you read my book, you will see my life of secrets and how it nearly destroyed me. Mm-hmm. And so to write the book took a lot of guts on my part. I guess a better word for that would be a lot of courage. I struggled for a very long time about writing my book. And at one point I thought, I'll just write, you know, some parts of my book. And when I began to write, I realized I can't write just part of my life. It has to be my whole life or not at all. What I didn't realize then, that as I wrote the book, that again was part of my freedom. And what I know now is that living the life of secrets nearly killed me, body, soul, and spirit. But when I was able to write about my story, and then even now today as I go and share my story, every time I tell it, I don't know how this is possible, but it's true, I feel a little bit more free.
Wow.
So just as secrets and darkness kill you, bringing all of your stuff into the light and being able to live an authentic lifestyle is absolutely freeing, and I don't understand how it works that way, but it really does. And so even today, when I share my story, there's still a little bit more of me that is set free. And I love the life I'm living. I hate the darkness and the secrets. I can't go there anymore. So this is a much better way to live.
Oh, absolutely. Now, is that why, Anne, that you've developed the Free Indeed Conference?
Yes, that's correct. That's correct.
Oh, can you tell a little bit about that?
Well, I wanted other women to understand that it's okay for them to talk about their pain, whether it's in the past 50 years or maybe they're in the big middle of their pain. But I wanted women to understand the importance of talking about your pain and your past and your story, and emphasize the power of telling your story. It's really a form of confession. And so I began to, first of all, I did women's classes, and in the classes I would do 7 women, 7 weeks, and seven stories. Each woman had 1 hour to tell their story. And so it became obvious to me that as women, we want to be heard and we want to be understood, but we need a very safe place to share our lives and our secrets and our stories. And so I was able to create a safe place for women. And then out of that, I did the women's conference where, again, we talk about how to free yourself and how to be live a life of freedom and how to look at your story and look at your past through and when you tell it, then you look at your story and your past in a very different light. So the more you tell your story, the more free you feel. And so I just want women to know it's okay to talk about your best.
I think that's such great advice for women, because a lot of times you think you have to take all the pain and suffering, you know, by yourself. So nothing makes you feel better than sharing it.
Yeah, absolutely. That's right.
Now, I see that you're on the board of Convoy of Hope, and I was looking at it on the website. It looks like a fabulous organization. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, and can you mention that website, the convoyofhope.org, I believe?
Yes, convoyofhope.org. That's
yes.
What I have down
here. I've been on the board for a couple of years, and they are a very large organization that they're first responders to any disaster that happens, such as Haiti, Katrina, all those disasters, not just in this country but around the world. They also feed the hungry in Africa, Ethiopia, over in the African continent. But they also do they have women's empowerment programs, which I'm also on a part of that team. And then they haven't forgotten about America, so they do one city a month in America. And they go into the city for the day, and they give food, they give haircuts, they have job fairs. It's just like for the total man. They go in with they call it Convoy of Hope because they have a convoy of trucks that travels across the country to feed the hungry and to meet the needs of communities. They are an amazing organization, and if anyone is interested in, you know, sponsoring or supporting something real, genuine, and they're very ethical. Go to Convoy of Hope. They're amazing. They're out of Springfield, Missouri.
Yeah, they really looked good. I saw they also had a Facebook page, and they
absolutely
were just helping with the hurricane in Oklahoma and an earthquake in Nicaragua. So
yes,
definitely tell our listeners to check.
Yes. They're everywhere. They go everywhere.
Well, that's amazing, that story as well. We're going to take another break at this point, but when we come back, we'll talk more with Ann and so my co-host, Greg. We'll be right back shortly.
Dorothy, come in, Dorothy.
This summer.
I can't believe it, Toto. We're really back in Oz.
The Battle for Oz begins.
An evil jester is threatening Oz, and you are the only one who can help us.
On May 9th, get ready for action.
Come on.
Ready the candy pulse.
Fire!
Adventure.
Lion, lion, coming through.
And monkey business.
I don't speak monkey.
Legends of Oz starts May 9th. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested.
How can we make it a better world?
I think we can make it a better world if we had peace among each other.
Everybody needs to help their neighbor, and then it will spread from there on.
I should do more.
I could do more. I spend so much time on Facebook.
How much time do I spend on Facebook?
Probably more than I should be spending.
I would definitely get back if I could find the time.
Now you can help others just by playing a game on Facebook. It's called A Better World. Share your hopes and dreams. Do good deeds. Make a difference. And have fun. Become a better worldian. Join a community where all good deeds get rewarded. Log in today to find out how you can make a difference every day.
For more information, visit facebook.com/abetterworld.
The Internet's number one talk station. Number one talk station. VoiceAmerica.com.
This is Better Worldians Radio with a family team of Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel. To connect with the show today, please call us at 1-866-472-5788. That's 1-866-472-5788. You may also send us an email to radio@betterworldians.com. Now, back to Better Worldians Radio.
Hi, we're back now with Ann Byler, the founder of Auntie Ann's Pretzels and author of Twist of Faith.
Hi, Ann. This is Greg.
Hey, Greg. How are you?
I'm great. Thank you. Good. You know, one of the things you hear all the time today is people talking about finding themselves and finding their passion. But something I read in an interview you gave, you said, it's good to have plans and dreams, but don't be surprised if God brings you somewhere else. And I thought there was real wisdom in that, because I think that sometimes finding your way and finding your passion can mean losing your way, at least for a little while. What do you think about that?
Well, you're exactly right. I think I would have to say I lost my way. because I certainly did not have the plan. I didn't see the plan. I didn't see it coming. And so finding myself, you know, I think, you know, what do you find when you find yourself? More of me? It's kind of, for me, to find more of me is kind of like a downer. I mean, I need more than me. And so when we did Auntie Anne's, we really, I found something bigger than me. You know, if you're just going to end up with just me, that's really not a whole lot. So I tell people that if what you're doing isn't bigger than you are, then it's probably not worth doing.
That's
so
great.
I think that it's really important to find a bigger purpose than yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that's really, it's not as easy to do as it may sound, because when you find something bigger than yourself, very often it's a selfless lifestyle. And in business, it can be a selfless lifestyle. At Auntie Anne's, it really wasn't. I always told people, it's not about me.
Yeah.
It's about the people here. And my goal was to serve my people. So you got to find something bigger than yourself, because that will take your eye off of yourself and think about others.
Yeah. Yeah, I love that, actually. You know, I mean, we wouldn't have a time in a full hour of this show for me to talk about how I lost my way to find my way.
Yeah, man, that sounds like a great book title. Start writing it.
Okay, I'm on it. But, you know, it did bring me to the family business I'm in now with my parents you've been speaking with. And, of course, family is a big part of your success as well. You know, what's your advice, do you think, for working with family? I know you say toward the end of your book, you know, you've had some trials and tribulations, but you all hang out together, you all laugh together, and what more do you need to say to that?
Yeah, I take advice for working with family. You know, it's harder to fire a family member than it is to fire somebody from California that you don't know. So I think the advice for families working together, for me, hindsight is always, you know, crystal clear. I would say that it's really important to do personality profiles.
Mm.
And as family members, you know, we take each other for granted, like, oh, I'm just me and you're just you and you've always done that and I've always done this. And, you know, we sort of do things, you know. But I believe that to really be effective in the business world as a family, it's really important for each family member to know what their strengths and what their weaknesses are. And then as a family come together and to be able to talk about strengths and weaknesses rather than to be, you know, threatened or disgruntled or just mad or, you know, okay, that's just John. He's always been that way. No, I think that family, if you're going to be successful in a family business, it means that all of us have to grow to the next level. So how do we do that? And respect each other's gift and talent and be very open about the issues between you. Meet regularly and talk for real stuff.
Yeah.
you can't do it successfully and pretend everything's okay. It's just not possible.
Yeah. Yeah, I've always thought that one of the advantages, sometimes it's a disadvantage, but usually it's an advantage of the family business, is that people can speak really. You know, not in every business can someone actually say what they really think or what's going on behind the scenes. With your family members, you can say, hey, this is what's really happening, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah, there's some real advantages, yes.
Yeah. Well, I know that you have a philosophy, speaking of growth, which is give until it feels good, which I think is great. You know, what does that mean to you, and how do people do it?
Oh, my giving. These questions that you're asking me are loaded with, you know, you can write a book on all of them, each of them. Giving to me means, you know, if you give till it hurts, then that's probably not enough. That's what most people do,
mm-hmm.
you know. But I think if you give until it feels good, I think it kind of means that you're sort of addicted to giving.
Uh-huh.
And that there's so much joy in giving that it for us, it became a lifestyle. And it became a, not an obsession, but if you continue to give, I've always said people that give are never selfish. You cannot become selfish if you keep giving. So give until it feels good. I think it just means you never stop, because the needs around you are always there, and you just can't turn your face the other way and look the other way and say, oh, it's not there. So giving just became a part of our life, and in such a way that it gave us such great joy. And then there's always the question about how much should you give. You know, we just simply started out giving 1/10 of our gross sales just to make sure that we're doing it. You know, people say, well, should I give 1/10? It's up to you.
Yeah.
But for us, we wanted to give plenty. And I think that giving is a little bit like, you know, if you're going to give like a little bit, like be a little stingy, well, then it'll come back to you that way. If you're going to be stingy, your return will be stingy. But it's not to give to get and to keep. But it's really our motto of the game: you give to get, to give again. It's just a continual cycle, and you don't wait to give till you have a lot. People say, "Oh, when I win the lottery, I'm going to give my uncle $1 million." No. If you make $100, give some of that away. So you start with a little bit. And you just grow that. It's a very exciting way to live, and there's really kind of an adrenaline rush that goes along with giving. Someone said that the medical world has actually done testing, and they've discovered that people that give, the adrenaline rush that you have giving is similar to a high that a drug addict gets. Can you believe that?
No, actually, you know, we can. Our whole enterprise is built around this idea that it's good to be good, you know, and so that's something we've talked about in other shows, and I'm glad you brought that up.
It's very exciting. It's a great way to live.
It's true. You know, what's your advice for someone who says they want to give back, but they feel they don't have much to give?
Well, I say give out of what you have. You know, I don't believe that God asks us to give what we don't have. You know, so, for example, if you have an old bike stuck in your garage that you've never used in 20 years, well, you know, maybe it's still workable, still usable. Give something. You know, start with what you have. And when you begin to give, there's something happens inside of you. You find things and ways to give that you never experienced, but you have to start mm-hmm. with something. And if you say you have nothing, then you need to take a trip to Africa and understand what that means.
Mm-hmm.
Nothing in Africa is true. Right. Nothing in America is probably not true. We all have something that we can give. I really believe that.
No, I think that's true. I think that's right. I think we all do have something we can give. It reminds me.
Start somewhere.
Yeah, I think that's right. We have to start somewhere. It reminds me of the story in the book, which I don't want to actually give away to the readers, but about the VCs and how you didn't take some capital because they wanted to. You know, sort of downplay the giving element of your business.
Yeah.
But it brings up to me the topic of, you know, what do you think about the importance of staying true to yourself, both in life and business?
Well, I think it's really true to stay, I mean, very, it's true. You must stay true to your purpose. And our purpose was to give. And, you know, your purpose, first of all, has to be clear. What is your purpose as a company? And then if it's clear to you, then you need to make sure that your employees understand what your purpose is so that no one ever wonders, why are we in business? You know, what's the point here? So, but when you become successful in business, it's easy, I can tell you. It is easy to listen to the outside voices that will say to you, you know, you shouldn't give this much, or why are you giving so much away, or whatever. It's easy to listen to that. But if you are convinced that your purpose is God-given and God-driven, in the midst of great success, there are times you have to fight to keep it, but to keep that purpose alive and well and going in the right direction. But I can tell you, if you know what your purpose is, nothing or no one can take that away from you. You have to fight sometimes to stay true to it, like I did a number of times. But at the end of the day, my employees were always supportive. My management team was supportive. But, you know, it was my vision. It was my purpose. It wasn't everybody else's, but it was my responsibility to make sure that everybody knew clearly what our purpose was at Auntie Anne's, and so that way they all had a goal to work toward. But you got to keep it in front of people.
Well, speaking of vision, you know, one question I bring up every week, and I wanted to make sure I had ample time for you to talk about this, is how they think that their work helps to make it a better world. And, you know, when I speak to you about your work, I guess I mean everything. For what you've done with Auntie Anne, even though you've moved on to Convoy of Hope and Free Indeed, you know, what's your vision for how you'd like to see your life's work and your life making a difference?
Well, you know, you can't change the whole world. There's nobody's ever been able to change the whole world. And I think it's easy for us to sit back and say, well, you know, I'm just one person. You know, what can, you know, we can kind of get whiny and mopey and discouraged. What can one person do? Well, one person can do a lot. And I just feel like if we stay focused on what we can do instead of looking at what we cannot do, is that's where the difference is. And my my simple vision right now is just simply, Auntie Anne's, Convoy of Hope, Free Indeed conferences, wherever I speak, I simply want to give people hope. I want people to feel hopeful, because we're living in a world that, if you listen to the news all day long, by the end of the day, you will go to bed depressed. You know, so you gotta figure out where you can be refueled and refilled. You cannot keep stay on the negative mode, stay on the negative track, and make a difference. You've got to you have to listen to things, listen to people that will build you up. So that's what gives you hope. And so my whole purpose is, through the company and the things that I've done, is very simple. Mm-hmm. It's to make this world a better place, make it better than it was before I got here. I mean, I can't do a lot, you know, but I can do it every day. In whatever I do, I want to give hope. I want to give hope to the person at the grocery store, the banker, the person next door to me, because there are so many people that feel hopeless and trapped. But I just want to say that life is not over till it's over, and there's something for all to do. I simply want to give people hope.
Well, that's an amazing, it's an amazing story that you've shared with us today. I'm reminded, over the past 6 months, we've had a journey with people like Mother Teresa and me, where who basically had a personal relationship with Mother Teresa, talked about, you know, what difference one person can make.
Absolutely.
And what. And recently we had another book on, author who did a special on PBS called Mr. Rogers and Me, and talked about what a difference that he made when he spoke to his audience about, like, you just the way you are, and really what an impact that he had on children and families. And I think you're doing exactly that. We really want to encourage our listeners to look at that same thing. David Brooks just was on Charlie Rose the other night, and he happened to quote somebody that talked about, if your purpose is just something that can be done in your lifetime, maybe it's not big enough. You really need to start something that's bigger than you are, even in your lifetime. And that's what I think you've started here in this this twist of faith. And so my My commendations for you, for our listeners. There's some great takeaways here. Out of pain, find your purpose. Because just when you think you're at, in the fire, then it's right from that other side of that you'll find your purpose. So I hope many of you have taken a lot away from this. If you can find out more about Annie Beiler's life and work by going to AnnieAnnBeiler.com. Anne, we'd like to thank you once again for joining us today on Better Worldians Radio. We really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you for the opportunity. Have a great day.
Thank you, Anne.
Thank you, Anne.
And for our listeners, and thank you. Thank you again. And for our listeners, please join us next week on Better Worldians Radio for a special commemorative Memorial Day episode. We have an excellent lineup of guests in the coming weeks, and if you know an unsung Better Worldian who you think would make a great guest on our show, please send us an email at radio@betterworldians.com. Once again, we'd like to thank everyone today for listening. You can join the Better Worldian community at betterworldians.com. And until next time, everybody, please be a Better Worldian.
Thank you again for helping make the world just a little bit better this week. Please join your hosts, Ray, Mary Sue, and Gregory Hansel next Thursday at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, 8 a.m. Pacific, on the Voice America Variety Channel. We hope we've inspired you to do one small thing to help make a big difference. Join us at BetterWorldians.com to tell us what you've done to change the world. Thanks again for listening to the preceding program brought to you on the Voice America Variety Channel. For more information about our network and to check out additional show hosts and topics of interest, please visit voiceamericavariety.com. The Voice America Talk Radio Network is the worldwide leader in live internet talk radio. Visit voiceamerica.com. The views and ideas expressed on the preceding program are strictly those of the host or guests and do not necessarily reflect the views and ideas held by the Voice America Talk Radio Network, its staff, and management.